It's one thing to have the idea in your head. It's another to execute them, and we've seen Khan do that several times with the Claypool in-season trade 2 years ago, which was a masterpiece to get Joey Porter Jr. back for that bum, for the Justin Fields trade. I mean, even if Fields doesn't pan out and doesn't become the Steelers franchise quarterback, to get him for a six-round pick, a conditional pick, was an absolute steal. That was a heist to pull that off. But I don't get why anyone wouldn't want Ayuk. And now that Ayuk is saying the 49ers don't want me back, I'd love to revisit this conversation with you at 412-928-9370. Even if it takes, if you take Mike Silver at his word, and $26 million a year is something that Ayuk is scoffing at, you could probably get it done for $30 million a year. So that would be 4 years, $120 million. The 49ers, maybe they take back a second-round pick and a younger player, someone that is not a starter on the Steelers, but someone that has upside, something like that. You make that type of trade. I don't understand why Steelers fans would be opposed to that. I get it that Ayuk is in part, all those guys are, probably with the exception of McCaffrey. They play in a great system and a very well-schemed offense, the antithesis of what we've had here in Pittsburgh the last few years with that bozo Matt Canada. So he does benefit from that. But if you watch him with the ball in his hands, once the ball is there and he's moving around with it, you have Tyreek Hill, who is as fast as anybody. There are very few wide receivers in the NFL who have the combination of size and speed that Ayuk has. Jefferson in Minnesota would be for like the guy who is the best example of that. You could count on at most two hands the type of players, the type of receivers in the league, the names of receivers in the league that give you that type of big playmaking. Last year in the NFL, these are yards per catch averages. George Pickens led the league, believe it or not, at 18.1. Ayuk was second at 17.9. So if you went and made this trade, you would have the top two big play receivers in the NFL on your team. You'd have the top two. You'd have a complete pick-your-poison offense where, all right, now what? Do we shade our coverage over to Ayuk? If we do, well, then George Pickens is going to have favorable matchups. If you don't, then you're going to get a lot of opportunities for both guys to succeed. If they pick one, well, then the other benefits. I also don't see an issue, and this has been raised by others. Okay, well, how is George Pickens going to feel if Ayuk comes here? What is his reaction going to be to it? How is he going to feel about all of that? If he's not getting the ball enough, he's going to pout and he's going to be unhappy. There's no reason why the Steelers can't pay both guys. They're going to have, right now they've got $16 million in cap space. Next year, right now currently, they're projected to have $78 million in cap space. You can pay both. The Eagles, who have now paid Jalen Hurts, managed to give A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith big contracts. You have $4.2 million tied up in your quarterbacks. You have no quarterbacks under contract for next year. There is literally nothing that is preventing you other than how you feel about the player and then, of course, San Francisco's willingness to trade the guy. There's nothing money-wise, cap-wise, that's keeping you or preventing you from bringing in a player like that. You've got the cheapest offense in the NFL. You're paying less for your wide receivers than any team in the league. And it just so happens that a top 10 wide receiver might be available because he is not pleased at all with the state of his contract negotiations. It doesn't sound like he thinks that San Francisco was going to budge. It sounds like he believes, according to this TikTok video of him having a private moment with one of his best friends who's a quarterback in the league, it sounds like Ayuk thinks that the 49ers have made their best offer. And if that's not good enough with him, well, at the very least, Omar has to do this. You put a trade offer in front of San Francisco that they have to say no to. And you also have to surreptitiously, in a very coy way, you have to talk to his agent and discuss hypotheticals like, hey, let's say we acquired a wide receiver who had 1,300 yards last year, because you don't want to get in trouble for tampering. Let's say we were to bring in a guy that had 1,300 yards last year and is 25 years old. If we were to pay that player 4 years and $120 million, how do you think this hypothetical player would feel about that? And if you get the sense that they are amenable to a contract, then you can go ahead and make the trade. You can't make the trade if because then you'll have the same situation you have now, where Ayuk is discontent and unhappy with the state of his deal. It has to basically be a sign and trade deal. And at various points this offseason, it has either seemed very likely or highly unlikely. We've had experts come on, insiders, and say they put the Steelers trading for Ayuk around 30%. I think it got closer to 50% with this news today. I think it's now not quite a coin flip. But it will be interesting if he refuses to show up to training camp and doesn't want to pay for only $14 million this year. How does San Francisco placate him and convince him that it's worth putting his body on the line when his peers and guys who he thinks he's better than are making $28, $29, $30 million a year? And that's where I think the Steelers come in. So I'd love to know what you think at 412-928-9370. I get it. We have done this song and dance before, but the song has come back on the jukebox again because of what Brandon Ayuk is telling his friends. And the fact that his girlfriend or wife or fiance, whatever she is like, yes, we need to post this conversation so the entire world knows exactly how you feel about your relationship with the 49ers right now. So I will throw out the number again, 412-928-9370. We have Brandon Ayuk saying, the 49ers said they don't want me back. Where are you on trading for Ayuk and then paying Ayuk at 412-928-9370? What is the bigger obstacle or the bigger issue for you? Is it what you'd give up in a trade, or is it what you would pay him? 412-928-9370. I don't think either is an issue, but if I had to pick one, I would say trade package, because I really would not want to give up a first-round pick. That would probably be the bridge too far for me, but the money I'd be fine with. He wants $120 million and $40 a year and like $100 million guaranteed or close to it. I would be able to do that. How about you? 412-928-9370. We talked to Omar Khan about this subject last week. You will hear that his take on it coming back. But also, I'd love your calls because Mulzy is in Myrtle Beach and Donnie is in Ocean City. 412-928-9370. Here is Seth's headline.
With your fan headlines, this is Sean Myers. The Pirates claimed a series win yesterday in Colorado with an 8-2 victory against the Rockies. Josh Fleming went 4 scoreless getting the start. 6 different Pirates had multi-hits. Jason DeLay had 3 RBIs in his return to the Buccos. Pittsburgh back in town to host the Cincinnati Reds tonight at 6:40. Paul Skeens will be on the mound. Carson Spires, will be the Cincinnati starter. The North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli begins at 5:45. Of course, you can listen to that right here on 93.7 The Fan and on the free Odyssey app. Headlines are powered by Bowser and Genesis Monroeville, now open for more. You can check out 93.7thefan.com. And now, Chris Muller.
Chris Muller here for my friends at The Bath Authority. They want to help you out. They want to help those of you out there who've got a bathtub or shower that's really old, that's outdated, that's just making the rest of the bathroom a complete eyesore, right? Maybe the mold and mildew have taken over, or you've got cracked tiles. You've really got to call my friends at The Bath Authority. If so, they've got the highest quality bathroom remodeling products, plain and simple, and they're going to give you the best customer experience. You're getting modern, durable tubs and showers. They've got an exclusive high-tech polymer liner, and that means that you're going to get something that's easy to clean and that lasts for decades, and the Bath Authority stands behind it with a lifetime warranty. They do it all too, tub to shower conversions, walk-in tubs, and more. Every unit's custom built. You pick the accents, you pick the safety features. The Bath Authority makes it happen, and all Bath Authority products are 100% made in the USA. Call today, 412-249-1140, and get free installation on your new shower or bath, plus 36 months of interest-free financing. The Bath Authority.com. BetterBath.com. A better bath awaits.
I mean, you guys know, I've had some experience with the cap in the past, but, you know, it gave us an opportunity to just kind of be in position in case there's an opportunity to upgrade. Just to be honest, just to be in a position to do something. If there's an opportunity to upgrade the club that's worth us looking at and doing something with. You know, we wanted to be in position to do so if that came about. Obviously, it did not come about, but, you know, just wanted to be prepared.
That was Omar Khan with us last week explaining why they moved Alex Highsmith's money around and restructured his deal. Wanted to be in position to make a big move. They've given themselves enough cap space for this year. They've got a ton for next year. And this Aiyuk story won't go away. A video of him on TikTok today on the phone with one of his former teammates from Arizona State, his wife recording the whole thing, her girlfriend, and him saying the 49ers said they don't want me back. So maybe he's being a little bit melodramatic. Either way, on his end of things, he doesn't believe he's going to get the contract he deserves from them. And will this turn into a standoff? Is he going to raise holy hell? Is he going to refuse to not play? And can the Steelers make an offer both to the 49ers in a trade and Aiyuk in terms of a contract offer that allows for it to make sense for everyone involved to just make a trade happen? I'd love for that to happen. I'm a little bit confused as to why Steelers fans would not want this. 49ers fans, I get, because they're trying to win a Super Bowl this year and they don't want a player like this subtracted off their roster for just future picks. That makes sense. Steelers fans being like, no, I think we're good with Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin at wide receiver, and let's just use Pat Freiermuth like a receiver, and we don't want to tick off George Pickens. That I don't get. 412-928-9370. Here is Adam on the fan. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for taking my call, man.
You bet.
Listen, I'm in alignment with you. I have no problem paying him top of the market, you know, whatever it would cost. I'd probably give up a first-round pick. And here's why. We have money to pay, what, three linebackers on defense? We're paying, what, two defensive linemen? I know Ogunjobi's got a pretty high salary. We know what Hayward makes. We're paying a safety a ton of money. This is an offensive league, man. I'm good with giving up a first if we had to. And here's the other thing. You kind of touched on this a little bit. I don't trust Pickens. I don't trust Freiermuth. I think you need something closer to a sure thing. And Aiyuk's, what, 26, 27?
Yep.
I have no problem with it.
They have spent more money on defense than anybody in the league, and it's by a wide margin. $162 million on defense. The next closest team is 136.
And let's be honest, defense is overrated.
Correct.
Yeah, so I'd have no problem with it. I would, if they wanted to throw Highsmith in a trade in a second or a third, I'd do that.
Yeah, you're throwing out things that I would not want to do. I would not want to give up the first round pick because I feel like Omar Khan and the way he's run his drafts, that I would be trading. I would be giving up a guy who has a chance to be a Steelers for 8 or 9 years and be maybe even longer and be a great player. I feel less certain about the second round pick. Those are 4-year deals. There's no 5th-year option. So that would be my preference. If I had to do it, if I was gunpoint situation and it was just a first round pick straight up for Aiyuk, oh man, I think I would still do it, but I don't. I'd come on the air the next day and be like, this is great that we have a number one wide receiver for the next 4 years, but if we go 8-9 or 9-8, the 49ers are going to get a very good player with our pick. And so this has a chance of being a very, very even trade. And then giving up Highsmith, You know, push comes to shove, I probably would do that. But I don't see, will the 49ers do that? Sean, you're a 49ers fan. Would they trade straight up?
They definitely need another pass rusher.
So you think they might do that?
Truthfully, I told you this before. I think they're going to keep him, try to figure out a way to get through this season and then make decisions after this season, whether that's not re-signing Ayuk, losing him. And by the way, they get third-round compensation, so it's not right. A massive loss in terms of the difference between a second and a third. I think ultimately they're going to find a way to keep him and move Debo after this season.
How do they do that, though, without paying him? How do they keep him happy without...
I think they will ultimately settle on about $29 million with Ayuk. That would be my guess.
So why is he telling his friends that he's getting effed around, that they don't want him? Why is he doing this, and why is it out everywhere?
There's a lot of NFL players or professional athletes in general that I don't understand why they say stuff like they do. But you heard the clip that you played before. Debo 2 years ago said he wanted out. He said, I want a trade. They made it work with him. So ultimately, I think they'll find a way. Eventually, they're going to run out of money because they are going to have to pay Purdy.
And I think that's how Ayuk is looking at this. I think he feels like he's the casualty of Purdy's ascension.
I think ultimately
that money's earmarked for the quarterback and not him.
I think he'll get the big wide receiver contract, and they'll move on from Debo's big contract after this
season. But go back to what the caller said. Do you think if they felt like they could not get a long-term deal done with Ayuk, do you think they'd take Highsmith in a trade for him? Probably, right?
Yeah, they really need pass rushing, so I think that would make some sense to them.
I would do it, but I can't. That's one where I can't see the Steelers doing it. For as much as they need wide receiver help, I think that Mike Tomlin would raise a stink about that. He would not want to give, because he would look at it like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You are making the offense better, but you are subtracting a very big piece away from your defense. So ultimately, how much better would that make you?
Would Nick Herbig be a suitable option instead of Highsmith in your mind?
Yes, I think so, because he's paid the other two guys. I've even put that out there as a potential trade idea. Here is Joe next on the Fan. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Pony. Good afternoon.
You bet, man.
Hey, I'm pro Ayuk, just like the guy right before me said a lot of the points I wanted to make, but I'll add to that a little bit.
So you would trade a first-round pick?
Yes, I would, and here I'll give you the reason. When we traded a first-round pick for Minka, that was like getting a first-round pick. He was our first-round pick that year.
He was younger and cheaper, though.
Here's to support my reasoning is, would you draft Brandon Ayuk as your number one pick next year if he was a number one pick at the same age and value?
Yes, probably. I would probably.
So that's my reason for going
number
one.
Because I know what I'm getting. I think I know what I'm getting from him. He's 25 years old.
And that's why I would do it. The other reason I have is that without a true WR1, WR2 package, you know, their offense is going to suffer. I don't care what anybody thinks or says. They're going to suffer. Okay.
I like that argument by Joe. If he were in the draft, would you take him with like the 16th or 17th pick? Of course I would. So that does make the first round pick sacrifice if that's what it took. I think that would make that easier to swallow. I think that if they can't get a long-term deal done with Ayuk and the Steelers offered a first, Sean, even though it makes them worse for this year, I think they take that deal. You don't?
I think they would exhaust all possibilities in terms of trying to keep him. But
if he's threatening to hold out into the regular season, they take a first-round pick.
That would be tough because it would be a distraction. Now, I would say the timing for the 49ers would look terrible if that turns out to be the case, because then if it turns out to be like that, they should have made the move before the draft so that they could have used that pick for this year's team. But, you know, obviously the timing's very significant in how this plays out on both sides.
412-928-9370. Brandon Ayuk on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but I saw the video. The 49ers said they don't want me back. Do you want him? 412-928-9370. Also a U.S. Open minute, but first a headline.
Sean Myers bringing you Fan Headlines. The Pirates won their series with Colorado over the weekend, courtesy of an 8-2 victory against the Rockies yesterday. Six different Pirates had multi-hit efforts. Jason DeLay had three RBIs in his return to the lineup. Pirates back home at PNC. Welcome to Cincinnati Reds tonight at 6:40. Paul Skeens gets the start. The North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Sangrilli begins at 5:45 right here on 93.7 The Fan. Headlines powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville, now open for more. You can check out 93.7thefan.com. Pony.
Thanks so much, Sean. A leaky faucet, clogged toilet from a big dump, a drain is backing up. Plumbing problems stink. When you have a, literally and figuratively, when you have a plumbing issue, you need to call the experts at McVeigh. Plumbing, heating, and cooling, McVeigh, the area's trusted go-to plumbing company. They can handle any type of plumbing issue you may have, whether that's a big one like a sewer line repair. Highly trained plumbing experts. That's what you want. They are knowledgeable. They're also honest, which is huge. And they will get that plumbing problem fixed fast. So save the day. Let's call McVeigh. That's McVeigh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, or visit McVeighPlumbing.com. Eventful Sunday at the U.S. Open. I couldn't turn it off. We had a Father's Day cookout at my father-in-law's, and we just tracked the Pirates game. It was too good from beginning to end. Rory choking. Dan Hicks talking in the background over that clip. Sean?
Nice little treat, huh?
And Bryson winning, and the fans loving Bryson. He's done a total image rehab on... He's used YouTube. He's a example of the 21st century athlete who uses social media or new media to get people to like him and to get people to care about him and want to root for him. The biggest story here, though, is this Neil Shipley, who after being the low amateur at the Masters in April and playing around with Tiger Woods and beating Tiger Woods that day, Sunday at the Masters when Tiger's in red, he ended up being the low amateur at the U.S. Open, finished in the top 30, and now I'm seeing on social media that now he's going to start his professional career. I think he already had like an Arby's club cover. The dude's got a unique look and good head on his shoulder, so he'll make money and be a star, I think, right away. I think there are amazing things ahead for him. My opinion is in the next 10 years, we'll try to get him on. Crowley will text him while he's in the final round of his day at a major, and he'll win that major and be the first major champion from Western PA since Arnold Palmer. I think I have that right.
Yeah, I don't think Rocco ever won one, did he?
No, he lost at Torrey Pines to Tiger in 08. I was thinking about this. We actually brought this up, my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and I on yesterday while watching the U.S. Open. Is Shipley already the third best golfer from this area ever? You put Palmer 1. You put Rocco 2. Who else is even in the conversation? Sean, you're my age. You've lived here your entire life. Can you think of anybody else off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no. But let me tell you a crazy thing. So I somewhat covered Shipley when he was at Central Catholic.
Congratulations on all your success.
I know, right? And the crazy thing is I don't think he ever even won a WPIAL title. Doesn't that blow your mind, as good as he is now, that he did not dominate
at the
high school level?
When you were watching him... play golf in high school, you never thought to yourself, this is someone that will someday play at the Masters with Tiger Woods and beat Tiger Woods head to head. He did not. He was a late bloomer.
He was really good, obviously, but he didn't dominate each and every year by any means. There's a few other guys who are typically right around the same level as him.
Well, I will open up the phone lines right now at 412-928-9370. We have a few minutes left in the segment, and if anyone else wants to tell me, if we were making the classic sports cliched Mount Rushmore of Western PA golf. Arnold Palmer, Rocco Mediate, and then who would get put ahead of Neil Shipley? He did something at the U.S. Open that's only been done in the last 30 years a handful of times, and that's finishes the best amateur at the Masters and the best amateur at the U.S. Open. The last guy to do it is Victor Hovland. So there are big names. So if you have not yet turned pro and you're a college golfer or teenage golfer, and you are competing like this at the Masters and U.S. Open, you are going to be a very, very, you're going to be a very, very successful professional golfer. That's what history says. Phil Mickelson is on that list of low AMs at the Masters and U.S. Open. I don't believe Tiger Woods did that as a master at the Masters and the U.S. Open. So already he's doing things that are very rare in golf circles. If you are a friend of Neil Shipley or related to him and want to call in and talk about this, we encourage that at 412-928-9370. As Sean answers some of these calls, I will say that I did feel bad for Rory. He missed putts that, now I know there's wicked break and the greens are so fast, but when it's inside 5 feet, you anticipate that pros will make them, especially the world number two golfer will make them. But the pressure of not winning since 2014 on the biggest stage clearly got to him. And then he stormed out of there, did not talk to reporters. And then Scott Van Pelt ripped him for that afterwards. And Scott Van Pelt, for people that don't know, this was at one time, I think, a professional golfer before he got into media. Was not a good one, but was a pro. And I agree with him on that. We expect and we ask out of all of our best athletes for them to talk in their worst sporting moments. And it stinks, but it comes with the territory. And the reason why we ask them to do it is because we crave it. We as fans want to hear that raw sound of either disappointment or anger when a big game is blown. That's why we ask the losing coach and the losing quarterback and the guy who misses the field goal at the end of a playoff game or throws an interception. The expectation is they talk. So I'm with Van Pelt. I thought he should have faced the music. It blows, and it's got to be something that is going to eat at this man for the rest of his life, especially if he never wins one. But I don't think it would have been catharsis for him in the moment, but that is what we demand. The TV rights are so astronomical, and so much money is spent on to watch golf, and the purses at these events are so big that I do think there should be cooperation there even after you lose, and you should not be storming out of there in a Lexus 2 minutes later. 412-928-9370 is our number. Here is Jim on the fan. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Pony. Not a fan, but I thought I would call in and let you know.
Not a fan of golf?
No, not a fan of you. I love golf, but
what did I do wrong?
I just wanted to let you know about.
Well, wait a minute. Time out. What did, hold on, Jim. I'll let you talk in a second. But what did I do wrong?
What haven't you done wrong? I listened to you all through the football season. I'm like, this guy has to lose thousands of dollars.
Oh, so wait a second.
Gambling.
So, okay, maybe I do, but like, because I get picks wrong, I'm now an a-hole because I get the prediction wrong in a game?
Jeez. You were an a-hole.
You said you're not a fan because I get a prediction wrong. My God, if people at this radio station got predictions right, they'd leave here and they'd go move out to Vegas.
All right. Well, let me fill you in on two golfers from Western PA that you probably never heard of. That
okay.
Neil Shipley, probably, you know, depending on where his career goes. But if you've not heard of him, look up Nathan Smith and Sean Knapp.
Nathan Smith and Sean Knapp. Did either one of them win PGA events?
They're not pros, but look at their storied amateur careers.
Recent
There's
golfers or like
out there.
No, I understand that, but like a long time ago or recently?
Oh, recently, yeah.
Okay. Yes, Smith is 45 years old. Someone mentioned him.
Why didn't he ever become a pro golfer?
I mean, that's something you'd have to ask him. I'm not really sure, but both those guys had amateur success, you know, from the time they were young. I think Sean Knapp was in the senior four ball last year or something with a partner. So while there might not be a lot of great touring pros from Western PA, those two are at the top of the list at the amateur level.
All right, Jim, I'll try to get more picks right this fall. Thank you for listening.
I got another submission from a caller. Okay. Jim Simons, who did have some success at the professional level. Now, he passed
away. Old head?
Yeah, he was probably playing in the 70s.
Okay.
But he won three events on the PGA Tour during his career and then several
Jim
top
Simons?
10. Yes.
Where's he from?
It just says Pittsburgh, so I'm not... He went to Knock High School in Knock Knight. Yeah, Saxonburg.
Yeah, I count that. I'd put him up there because Shipley hasn't won a... He hasn't played as a pro yet.
Looking further,
I'd count that guy.
Nathan Smith, great amateur success, but he is 0-for-5 in making the cut at major championships. He played in 4 Masters and 1 US Open.
I mean, with all due respect to the guy that just said he's not a fan of mine, I think Shipley's already ahead of the dude. He was in Butler Cabin at the Masters, and he beat Tiger Woods that day. I know it's not Tiger in his prime. Well, that's a pretty tough story to beat, man. Anyways, he's not a fan of mine because I couldn't pick games right last year. All right. Thank you, Jim. I'll strive to do better this season. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. 412-928-9370 if you want to critique me, I guess. We have the Steelers weekend review coming up. The biggest Steelers stories from the weekend that you want our takes on. But first, a quick timeout. Actually, first a message from Malzi.
Chris Muller here, and I want to tell you all about Shorkey Mitsubishi because I'll tell you what, they know how to do a lot of things, and one of them is rock those summer savings for you. They know you're stretching your dollar right now at Shorkey Mitsubishi, and they want to help you by putting you in a great-looking and tech-filled vehicle that's also very affordable and one that's going to give you peace of mind because it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. You get peace of mind and you get so much value. 7-passenger Outlanders like what I'm driving right now, just $29.99, or you can choose 3.99% financing for 60 months with a $1,000 rebate. How about Eclipse Crosses, just $27.7, or you can choose 4.99% financing for 72 months with a $500 rebate. You get style, safety, and all-wheel drive with Mitsubishi, and Shorkey Mitsubishi is going to throw in 2 years of prepaid maintenance as well. The Mitsu that fits you, it can be found in Western PA's best inventory. Shop those summer savings right now at ShorkeyMitsubishi.com.
All right, we've got Paul Skeens on the mound in about 3 hours as he tries to make it 4-0 in a Buccos uniform. First time this year the Pirates and Reds have locked horns, which makes no sense. NL Central teams waiting this long to play. The lineup is out for this game. Yasmani Grandal is catching. Skeens, McCutcheon leading off. Brian Reynolds hitting second. O'Neill Cruz third. Nick Gonzalez cleanup. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Right now, more Pony and Muller. The Minute Mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters. Sean Meyer is in for Donnie, who's in Ocean City this week on vacation. Malzi out as well. He is in Myrtle Beach, so you're stuck with me. And according to a guy earlier this hour, that ain't good because I can't get any predictions right, so that makes me a bad talk show host. But I'd hate to pull up Colin Cowherd's win-loss record in the NFL this past season. Anyways, you can't win them all. We got a Steelers weekend review that we're going to get to. We also had a man call in when I asked if Neil Shipley is already on Pittsburgh Golf's Mount Rushmore. Western PA's Mount Rushmore with Arnold Palmer and Rocco Mediate. And who was the person that went into the archives and found the guy who won the U.S. Open back in the 30s, Sean?
He didn't even say his name.
On the text line?
No, he called in. Yeah, he called in and said, hey, you got to look up this Sam Parks. And we did. And the resume is there.
he won the 1935 U.S. Open, and then...
Yeah, the 35 U.S. Open, which was at Oakmont.
So he had insider knowledge of the course.
Yes, he was from Bellevue, so not too far, but also had four other wins, Tri-State PGA Championships on three occasions, and the Pennsylvania Open Championship in 1940.
And went on to create a golf team at Pitt.
Yes. So he has made many contributions.
He's in. I would put him ahead of... Hell, I might even put him ahead of Rocco. He's a U.S. Open winner. A major champion. All right. Let's get into Steelers weekend review. All the big stories about the Steelers that you might have missed or just got bits and pieces of. Antonio Brown is hacked off that Cordell Patterson got his number. And he took to social media to bitch and moan about that. I can't ever tell now if it's the actual AB or the people that are running AB's account. I'm guessing it's the people who are running it. And they are, I don't know how they're getting paid because AB is in big time debt now. He has under $50,000 in assets. Maybe he just sold his Twitter account to these guys because he was in such bad shape and they're maybe making money off of Twitter. You can if you get verified. And I don't really know what happens after that. If there are ad sales that are a part of it, maybe you know how to do it. I haven't been able to monetize it at all. When you quit the team and then call out the owner and the coach and the quarterback, you really don't have a leg to stand on in this discussion. They're also giving the number to a guy who is the NFL's all-time leader in kickoff returns for touchdowns. They didn't give it to some scrub. The number did not go to Scotty Miller. And I don't even know why I'm taking this seriously. Why am I even starting with this when I don't even... The real Antonio Brown probably has no clue that there is a current Steeler who has his number, and I don't think he cares. So that's story number one. His the AB84 account is not happy and is saying all kinds of now inflammatory things regarding the Steelers giving out that number. I did think it was wrong of the Steelers to give out Pouncey's number a year after he played, and giving it to Kendrick Green no less made that decision look even worse. Ray Fittipaldo. Now, Ray, who comes on with all of our shows, I love Ray, and he does a really good job, but I'm now a little bit disappointed that he's saving these great takes for satellite radio. He went on NFL radio and I guess peeled back the curtain on Justin Fields in minicamp practices and said, quote, he's not terribly accurate with the football. And pretty much said that a lot of the weaknesses and things that have been wrong in Fields' game and led to him getting traded out of Chicago and then believing that Caleb Williams gave the team a better chance to win long term, have already been apparent and on display in mini camp practices. Not a great endorsement for Fields as anything other than a dude who makes spectacular plays every now and then but can't consistently make the right play to win with this guy at quarterback. So not terribly accurate. I don't like hearing that in just practice in shorts with no real pass rush, that a man that at one point was a first-round pick and one of the great rushing quarterbacks of all time is already showing people that he can't put the ball where he wants to when this is just a relaxed practice setting. Not in love with that from Fittipaldo, not saying he's wrong, just brutal honesty there. He also told SiriusXM that Deontay Johnson was traded because he was, quote, a big issue in the locker room. A big issue. That goes beyond just sulking and not picking up a ball when it's a fumble and allowing for Cincinnati to hop on it and really not paying much attention because you're in your feelings. We know that Deontay Johnson got into it with Mitch Trubisky and that got Trubisky benched. Now basically describing the guy as a cancer. When I hear big issue in the locker room, I think of that. Like, this is someone that you don't want around your players because even though there's production there that is solid, he's doing more harm than good. And that I think take some stones for Ray to go on national radio, no less, and say those things. Really begs the question, why did they give Deontay Johnson a long-term contract in the first place? Why did they put up with it for so long when he's not the wide receiver that we were just talking about, Antonio Brown? I would have cut my losses on him much sooner.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.